Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm glad you're here. We've been going through Jesus' beautiful, comforting words in Matthew 6 about worry. It's amazing how long a section he devoted to the Sermon on the Mount to this topic of worry. And as we've studied this, we found that there's nothing that ever happens to you that causes anxiety or worry or stress inside you. There are a lot of causes of anxiety, but they're all internal. So far, we've found four of them, and today we jump into number five. So let's go. All right, now let's look at verse 27 for the fifth cause of stress, and that is self-reliance. Verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? That's a funny question. It's even funnier in the Greek. The question, I think, is designed to draw our attention to our own inability to do anything about the things we worry about. Worry is a sign that you're trusting in your own resources. You're relying on yourself. Trusting in your own resources is always causes anxiety because we don't have any resources. So it's stressful to rely on nothing. When you feel like you need to do something and you don't have what it takes to get that thing done, that causes anxiety. So ironically, one of the solutions to stress and anxiety is to simply remember that you are absolutely inadequate for any task in yourself. And the more you realize your own bankruptcy, the less inclined you'll tend to be to rely on your own resources, and you'll start looking to God. So if you stop looking to yourself as the solution to your problems, then you won't get as stressed out over not having a solution to your problems because you're not relying on such a bankrupt source of solutions. And I said this is kind of funny. He has a comical way of saying this. The word translated hour in verse 27 is actually the word cubit, which is a unit of linear measure. It's 18 inches, a foot and a half. And the word translated lifespan, it's helikia in the Greek. It can mean either maturity or age, or it can mean stature. For example, in Luke 19, in verse 3, it says, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because of the crowd, he could not see since he was small in stature. That's the same word, helikia. It can mean stature. Now, it can also mean age, and so most translators assume here it must mean age. It gives a little problem with cubit, so they figure, well, cubit must be used in a figurative way, not referring to literal height, but just as a span of time, a cubit of time, so to speak. And they say that. The reason the translators conclude that is because in the context, adding a segment of time to the end of your life seems to fit this context a little better than adding a foot and a half to your height. And plus the fact that Jesus speaks of this like it's a really small thing. He says, you can't even add one single cubit, making it sound like a cubit is nothing. But if it's talking about literal, I mean, these people argue, if this is talking about adding a half a yard to your height, that's not a little thing, that's a huge thing. So they say it must be a figurative way of saying you can't add a segment to your lifespan. And I think that's a possibility, but I'm not convinced for a couple of reasons. First, even though helikia can refer to age, when that word is used with a word like cubit, I think the most natural way to take it is referring to stature. It's a measure of height used with a word that has to do with stature. I think we need to take cubit literally. As a general rule in hermeneutics, in interpreting the Bible, I don't assume something is figurative unless it just doesn't make sense taken literally. That's how you know if something is figurative in the Bible. But this, I think, does actually make sense if you realize that this is satire here. It's just like in the very next paragraph where Jesus talks about having a log in your eye when you're trying to take a splinter out of someone else's eye. It's a comical, he's using humor to show us how utterly unqualified we are to be in charge of worrying about our lives. He's saying you can't even add a foot and a half to your height. Think of it this way. Imagine you're working for a publishing company, a Christian publishing company, and they're coming out with a new English Bible translation, and your job is to hire the general editor for this English Bible translation. And so you begin your first interview with the person. You ask, you say, I'll start with some basic, easy stuff. How fast can you type? How fast can you read? What are your basic skills that you have that would make you a good general editor for a major English Bible translation? And the guy looks at you, gives you a strange look, and finally says, no hablo inglés. Well, if he can't even speak English, then he's not really qualified for that position, right? To be general editor for English Bible translation. That guy, that's us in verse 27. Here we are, sitting across the desk from Jesus Christ, and we are applying for the job of overseeing and sustaining our own lives. And Jesus begins the interview saying this: you want to be in charge of your own well-being? Okay, let me just start with something very basic. Can you, by worrying, just make yourself a half a yard taller? And you're just like, well, you know, I could get some high heels and get a really big hat, and, you know, or some kid might say, I'll just grow for a few years, you know. And Jesus said, no, I didn't say by growing. I said by worrying. Who of you, by worrying, can add a cubit to his height? So Jesus looks out over this crowd and he says, okay, raise your hand, show him. How many of you are so adept at worrying, such good worriers, that you could go home, sit down at your kitchen table, worry, and stand up a half a yard taller? Show hands. And the crowd chuckles and laughs, and Jesus makes his point. He says, if you can't even do that little tiny thing, obviously you're not the candidate for this position of sustainer of your life. That's his point. So I think Jesus does mean to use the word cubit in a literal way. It's an intentionally ridiculous picture for the purpose of making the point emphatic. He takes something that for us is huge, ridiculously huge, and says, in order to be qualified for the job of caretaker of your life, that huge thing would have to be for you very small. And so he's just showing us how unqualified we are for the job of worrying about our own lives. Another reason why I think this is the right interpretation is because in the parallel passage in Luke 12:26, Jesus actually says, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Well, what is the rest? If you take the traditional interpretation, what is the rest? The rest is sustaining your own life. So Jesus' argument is, if you can't even do the little thing of adding a cubit, then you certainly can't do the big thing of sustaining your life. But if adding a cubit means lengthening your life, then I don't see how one is big and one is small. It doesn't make sense to me for Jesus to say, if you can't even do the little thing of adding length to your life, how could you do the big thing of sustaining your life? How is one of those big or little? To me, those are the same thing. Adding length to your life and sustaining your life. So that's my rationale for my interpretation. I'm definitely in the minority. You can decide for yourself which you think is right. But either way, the point is basically the same. You are utterly disqualified for the job of preserving your life. And if you have been worrying about your own life, you need to step down from that position immediately because you are disqualified. You should tender your resignation of being the sustainer of your own well-being because you are so underqualified. You can't even do a miracle. The only skill we have going for us is worry, and worry doesn't even work. And you got to ask, why do we even do that? Who's greedy for suffering? Why on earth are we even tempted to do that? What motivation pushes us to want to scuttle God's schedule so that we can suffer tomorrow's pain and today's pain right now, both? The answer is this. Anytime you find yourself reaching over and taking the wheel from the passenger side, you do that because you think the one driving can't be trusted. He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs my help. Well, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you can make it back again tomorrow. I really think tomorrow's podcast, it might be the episode that's the most important of this entire season. If you have any friends who struggle with anxiety, and you want to try to help them, but maybe they won't listen to a whole season of podcasts, or they've gotten a little bored with it or whatever, if you can get them to just listen to one episode
tomorrow would be the one. The title is Trouble Greed. And we're going to learn all about the difference between borrowing tomorrow's pain and borrowing tomorrow's joy. So I really hope you can make it back again tomorrow. And if you can't, for whatever reason, if you miss it, go ahead and dial it up on the archive, because that's an important one. I'll see you then.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.